Because we don't get to modern yet.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be modern.
Almirante, he'll get to you, right? If I just give you a name and put Almirante?
Yeah, Almirante Portofit.
That's like my godmother's from Sonam, Veragua. And it's the same. Whenever I send her anything, I just say, you know, my name, Sonam, Veragua.
Exactly. Everybody knows me here.
All right, we are going to start. Okay, tell me a little bit about your place of birth. What was going on in your place of birth when you were growing up as a kid?
Oh, that's quite a long while. I was born in Guavita. That's next to the Costa Rican border. And 1927. Yeah. My mother was a Jamaican descendant. Now she came here by the yeoman. She met my father there, and then she made all of us. What's that? Lavadora. And I was born there in Guavita, 1927. But I grew in Almirante. In Guavita, those days was like Shanginola, big city. You had a racetrack, you had one or two banks, and the banana plantation, baca plantation, the cocoa plantation, was big. My father was in charge of the commissary here. And but I came to Almirante from, I had 3 months. I was raised by my aunt and my uncle right here in Almirante. Then I've been to school here, Spanish school, and then from here I went to Cologne and went to English school in Cologne. And I remained in Cologne, started to work in the canal zone there with the army, started to work for the corporation in Cologne. And then from there I came back here, set up my own business here. Left here and went to Chirera, put up a business. Left Chirera and went back to Cologne. And Cologne I came back here, met up my business, and I still have a little business. I'm always in the liquor business. That for my, so far, I'm still in the liquor business. That's so far. But Almirante is on the upward trend, definitely. And you can see for the last 20, 25 years, that made a rapid change like the island. Cost of living is going to be just like the island after a while here. The tourists coming in. We might not have no beach instead, but we have other sites and other things that interest the tourists. In other words, we have a lot of green forests, and the tourists like the green forest. Not everybody wants to go to the beach. That's why you see they're buying so much land and building the tourists. They want to run from that, what you call that jungle of skyscrapers. We call that the jungle skyscrapers. They're running from that, and we are running to it. Okay. But definitely see Almirante in the next 10 or 20 years, if you're not located here, it's going to be hard to get in. Because everybody's changing. You got better education. You have more professionals. And that's what built the place. So I think that's that.
So far, going back to Guavita, growing up as a kid in Guavita, what was that like?
Guavita? Well, Guavita was a town site for the limitation between Panama and Costa Rica. As I said, they had the trend of business, like Almirante, because all the workers, banana workers, the cocoa workers, were up in the farms up there. They had cocoa beans with a swing up there. And they had their big plantations, the United Fruit Company, had big plantations up there. So everybody came, go to Guavita, work, and come down weekends, go back up. All the entertainment, the big entertainment up there, and all of that. Then, eventually, the cocoa beans dropped, and Guavita dropped. Then you had the movement from Costa Rica also, the border coming over this side, get the dollars, because over there were colonies, so they came looking for the dollars. But it was an upward, and right now it's coming back up. It's going to come back up. Because you see, a border town and a port never die. It's always, they go down, but when they come up, and that's what's happening in Guabito right now. You can't get a piece of land in Guabito right now, it's a bad. And years gone by, you could go and take it. Nor if you get one, it's going to cost you a good fortune. So that's it. The entire province, and then this is the mainland, with all, one of the things that we have here that has, that is helping us and has helped us, is the, what we call the dry canal. This road from here to David. Because that's linking you with the Atlantic to the Pacific Oceans. So we call it the dry canal. You can leave here with your car now, and by 1-2 o'clock you're in Panama on the Pacific side, and the same vice versa. So you can imagine the flow of business between the two areas, and with people moving like that, everybody has a different site. A guy would put a hotel here, one would put a restaurant there, one would put a gambling shop there, and that's the way. So that road is helping. Now the same thing happened, going to happen to Guabito with this new bridge that they're building. They're building a new bridge here at the river, Shanganola River, and the Costa Rican people intend to build one on the Sixola River, where they haven't located the spot yet. But you can imagine when you have two bridges like that working in two countries, you're going to have all kinds of people going and coming. You have a peace of mind here and now, but after that it's different. Because a guy can come in and do something here. Get out. Like the United States. I've never been to state, but I read a lot. Borderline between the two states. You come in, park in one state, and you run to another state, and to the catch you, and you move to the other state. Well, the same thing can happen here now. But it's on the upward trend, definitely. Right now, she's what you call a little stymied, but she's coming up, definitely. Just like Almirante. You see the construction going around. Yes, good construction. Grocery business. We'll have to ride something else will come in. People like to eat, but people like to dress. Yeah. So, I think that's a good idea for you all to have these programs to keep the Brazilian element alive. Because that is dying out little by little. See, my children are mixed with Latin. I have one with my wife, and I have about 4 more with Latin, so that's not West Indian origin anymore. That's a mixture. See? So we are little by little disintegrating here. Not, we don't have that flow of West Indian coming from the West Indies as before, because they have better life here. And more intelligent, as I said before. Okay. So they're not traveling out to this part of the country anymore. These countries have nothing to offer. So that's the one thing that you have to do to keep what little unified. Because we don't have that unity like the other people. We pull against each other. I don't know why. But very rarely you find two of us want to agree. It's always fighting among themselves or criticizing. And other people use that. Like, here, this province now is dominated by the Indians. Yeah, because, number one, they're studying more than our people, and then the Latins. And number one, they're in majority. So, you got to find a way to counteract it.
How would you compare the childhood you had with the childhood of your kids? You said your kids are mixed, right? Yeah. Mixed race. How would you compare the two childhood experiences?
Well, there's a complete difference because of the, what I would say, etiquette and the background. You see, my wife has the same background like me, but the mothers of these other children don't have the same background. They have a different etiquette and a different thing. So there's not that, there's no similarity between them. Complete difference.
Can you give us an example of those differences?
Well, one is stricter than the other. Yeah. These others have, as I said, they don't think about, very few of them think about going ahead. They just go that way and want to stop. But my wife, they simply think to expand the difference. You find it that way, mixture, two different cultures. Because how I think she's not going to think, because she wasn't brought up like me. Her style of living is different. Her style of eating is different. We have to combine that. And you see the children going to take after the mother because she has them 24 hours a day. You only go and come.
So what are some examples of that style of living? Give me an example. So food, eating, what would be different?
What?
What are some of those specific details that are different? You talk about food. What, for example?
Well, for instance, we at West Indian, most of us were grown on rice and soup and all that. Now, these Latins, most of them don't fool with that. They fool with beans and meat. We grow with meat too, but not so much. They eat more meat than us. See? And rice they eat a lot, but not that amount. They eat a couple of vegetables and so. But we West Indians have what they call a trend of eating that is what kept us from birth. We're taught to drink a plate of soup every day and that. With and my children, if you give them soup, they don't want that soup. They take it one day, but they don't want it the next day. So it's completely different. But eventually they work around, but still then there's a difference. There is a difference. And the love is not the same. I learn from experience. The love is not the same. Because I had this experience with them. They stick more to the mother. And if you have a problem with the mother, you're going to go to the mother. To the mother, you can't get into that. So, whereas with my son, with my wife, he's between both. No, he's, look at it. He's for his father. But these others, oh, they're for their mother.
Okay,
huh?
I guess you
have a family. See what you mean that? Because the woman has most control of the children growing. See, you have 24 hours within pulling your dress tail, pulling your plate and that. But I only go and come and see me, and hello and drink and that, and I'm going back to work and things like that. So, and she's there telling him whether it is good or whether it is bad, or your father is no good, or your father is this and that. Control. And eventually grows with that. You can't beat that. That's the way it is.
Who were your best friends growing up, and how you maintained those friendships?
Well, I had some friends when I was here, yes. One or two, but the most, a lot I left here and went to Cologne, I had very good friends in Cologne. And most of them are dead, some of them I haven't seen them for long. But here I don't have very good friends. As I said, the Negroes here don't unite. We don't unite. We're friends with interest. And a friend is not with interest. I mean, a friend is a friend. With me, or Bologna, you find the Negroes are different. With that, they unite more in Cologne and Panama, and they help each other. I have friends in Cologne where I live in. If I don't have a plate of food or a dollar, I could go and eat here you can. More to them. They criticize you. Maybe they give you a cup of coffee today, but they're going to criticize you and talk. That's a complaint I found with our race. We don't unite. I want to take you off that pinnacle where you are. Instead of giving you a support, but the Indians are not that way. The Latins are not that way. They get in and they're going to pull the brother in, and they're going to put the cousin in, and they put in the wife brother and the wife cousin and everything. We don't do that. We get in. I don't want that. I'm telling you from experience with that. I feel it different. We have that. Until we change that, and I don't think we can change it again, it's too late, because as I said before, the mixture, you can count the amount of Negroes in this province now, and the amount of descendants directly from Negroes. The majority is mixed with Indian and Latin, coming out, Indian. So you have a complete different culture, different etiquette, all together.
Tell me a little bit about your parents and your grandparents. What memories do you have?
Well, little I knew about my grandparents. My grandfather was from Jamaica. My grandmother was from St. Lucia. And they met there in the island of Bocas. They got married and had four children, two boys and two girls. And my grandfather was a real estate man in Bocas. But what happened to him? He died at an early age, according to what my father told me, 43. So his fortune, what he made and everything, didn't come true. Because as far as I understand, he was supposed to take his children and send them to school in Jamaica, when he was grown. Away, because he didn't want them to grow in these countries. Those days was nothing. But when he died, everything changed and they remained here. Well, my father and my aunts, they grew in Ireland and they had West Indian training and West Indian school. We had some very good teachers from Jamaica those days in Bocas. Teacher Reed and a couple others that were well prepared from Colorado College in Jamaica. Come back to that. Most of the days, most people used to send their children to Jamaica, study and bring them back. And they made good. My father made good. My aunt made good. Those are the ones that raised me from 3 months old. That. And that's what I understand. But we had, our family in general had a very good life. We never had hardship. We weren't rich, they weren't rich, but they weren't poor neither. And all of us, all my sisters are professionals. All of them, professionals. Everybody was sent to school. All of them, nobody. We had, thank God, and their children went to school. I don't know if you ever heard about that girl that was married to a prince in Germany. That's my niece, my sister's daughter, second daughter. Yeah. She was born in the island.
And what was her name?
Her name is Angie Brown. Her father is Brown. Angie Brown. Yeah, because my mother is Burke, my sister. Her father is Brown from Bocas. So you see, when you have preparation, the luck go with you. She was a designer in New York, and she met this guy as far as I understand. And from the time he put his eyes in her, that was it. She couldn't get away. And they're fine. They were here in December in Panama. Yes, she lives in Panama now. She was living in New York. She had other children in New York. And they're all the children are in New York. My son is in New York. They're everybody's up there. But I've never been to the States. And I could go, but we're never keen, because you know, in the United States, you got to work too hard. You make the money. But I don't understand working two jobs. And here in Panama, I work one job and you make the same money and you live better. It's only now that Panama is deteriorating with that gangster business and that. But once ago, Panama was paradise. Colón and Panama, paradise. But now with the drugs and the this. And I said, what is taking place in Panama, in my conception, is the different culture explosion that they don't see anymore. Can you find Negroes in Panama right now that don't believe that they are Negro descendants. But if we are telling you that they are not, because in Madrid, Pattaya, say, according to the United States, 1 ounce of Negro blood and you're a Negro. People don't want you. You look at Adam Clayton Powers. That. I said, I tell him, why I like the Americans. Because the Americans discriminate against you, but they give you a break. I don't know if you agree with me. They give you a break. All the neighbors that get in the United States get a break. Look at the Rice. Look at the guy that is running with Clinton. Look at that. And many other neighbors, Jesse Jackson. That. And there are more to come. See? Would other countries give you a break? No other country give you the Negro a break like that. Not even in Panama. No, Panama has a lot of discrimination. No. That, you people don't realize it, but it does. Yeah. So, we just have to try to link it out. Who survives, survives. But, as I said before, this disintegration is in our trend, down here. Other part of the world, I don't know. But not the United States. In the United States, they're coming to power. Yeah. And how long you been here?
Well, we got here, it's the weekend is Sunday, and we're leaving on Friday.
On Friday here? That's nice.
There's a lot of people that far. We can hear them over here also.
Oh yeah, tell them to record their voice a little so we can drop down.
Oh, that's a good question. Here's what you have to say about it. How was school like for you? How were your teachers? Who were your teachers?
Most of my teachers were West Indians. I went to a private school in Colombo. I got my base English from here, from a man that studied in Calabar, graduated, came back here, and he gave us English here. And then I got the rest in Colón. Then I picked up Spanish here, and the rest in Colón. Then I took correspondence courses. No? Like that? Not a profession. My real profession is accounting. Yeah, I studied from La Salle Extension University by correspondence. Then I went to work with the Army. And it's pure English in those days when I was young. Then I went to work for another big company in Cologne, there, and it's English and Spanish. And I was always mixed up with the Americans that I had to meet them. So that's what helped me a lot. When I speak English to the people here, a lot of people want to know where I'm from. I said, I'm from right here. But you see, is speaking English grammatically and speaking English, what we call broken, is two different. I can speak to both of them. But if I have to speak it grammatically or American style, is another style. You know, Americans change everything. Because you take, for instance, the word light. They put L-I-T-E. Light. It sounds. All the Englishmen say L-I-G-H-T, light. Night is the same thing. I tell people that. People say, oh, you know. I say, yeah, you're watching the Americans are like that. So all you got to do what you call paraphrase. And then, and you got that. Yeah. That's the way it is.
Any teachers in particular you remember?
I got a special English teacher in Cologne by the name of Teacher Connor. That he was very well versed in English, and he helped us a lot, gave us a lot of things. I was one of his main scholars in school. That I had a friend of mine by the name of Llewellyn Brown. We occupied first and second, we fight first and second, that kept fighting. He went to the States, went to the Army, and he came back a colonel in the Air Force. Went back to Germany, got married, went to New York, and he died from a heart attack. I think his brother is still alive in the States. But those were, as I said, my best friends were in Cologne. They lived there for years. I lived there. be good friends. Friends, not to say friends. Friends that you don't depend on having. But not like here. The friendship here is because convenient.
You said your teacher's name was Teacher Connor?
Connor, C-O-N-N-O-R. Yeah, man.
Now, what kind of music did you hear growing up, and has that changed over time?
Well, we had, in my days, we had the Foxtrot. We had the jazz. Jazz was in Colombia. That we had Foxtrot jazz, and then we had the mambo came in, and what else we had? Bolero. When the Spanish started coming in, boleros, but I liked boleros. That, but those were the principles. Then after that, calypso started coming late. Well, now you have reggae and all of this foolish jumping up business. I don't call that dancing, I call that wiggling. But those days we had good jazz music. Because you see, Colombia and Panama was dominated by the Americans. So the American culture was there, and American music was there. But you had all the schools in the Canal Zone. Canal Zone had the best schools. That. And the entire workforce was in the Canal Zone, both sides, Atlantic and Pacific. So you had that American culture there. At your nice house, they had nice houses to live in the zone. The pay wasn't excellent, but you could live because the cost of living was down. See? Definitely. Those were the type of music we had. Not like now, we have. And as I said before, you had more West Indians there, so you had a different culture altogether. Latins came in after. Indians we didn't have there, but Latins came in. If you're American, any way you turn, American. American soldiers, Americans, working civilians. So, you had different culture.
How about today? What music do you still listen to the same music today, or has that changed?
Yeah, when I have time, I like it. I like my boleros. I like my, what you call, jazz. Jazz festivals, I like that. But, mm-hmm. I do, and soft music. But.
Okay. Now, foods. What kind of foods do you like? What did you used to eat growing up?
Does
it change? Is it the same now?
Well, now that I'm older, I reduce my eating of meat. I don't eat much meat anymore. Rare. Maybe liver or so. But I eat more vegetables now. Vegetables. And the lady that I'm along with, she's a Costa Rican. And they have a different menu also. She likes vegetables and salad and all that. I believe in that. A lot of milk in that. I don't fool with much rice and all of that anymore. A lot of liquid, vegetables, salad, a little liver now and then, sometimes fish, but definitely red meat. I don't fool with it. Not even much chicken. See, at my age now, I tell you, you got to be careful what you eat. I'm 81. I'm on the downward trend, not in the upward trend. I had an experience with my doctor. I told her that. And she looked at me in love. She said, oh, I said, yeah, you got to watch your kidneys and all of that. You know, kind of eating. But the more vegetables and the lighter that you can eat, is better for me. I don't eat, no, to develop. I just eat to preserve. When you're young, like you, you gotta eat to preserve. But now I just have to preserve.
So are there any West Indian cultural dishes that you tend to enjoy?
What?
Are there any dishes, Jamaican dishes? Or?
Oh yeah, my rice and peas, man, we never forget that. Rice and peas, you can't forget that. And where are you going to see that? Fried planting. That's us. Rice and peas, fried plantains, stew beans and rice. Kusa! All right. Bueno, rice and peas. And that. I love that. Okay. Nice good stewed chicken or fried chicken. That. But I said before, not too much. I watch my diet. Hey, come in, man. Here, Mr. Jolly. All right. Good. I got no right now. He's a very nice fellow.
How would you classify yourself in terms of identity, ethnic or racial or cultural identity? How would you define yourself?
Well, to be frank with you, wherever I go, I'm always noted for that because my culture is different, my style. If I go in veterans, if I go... See, I had a lot of business here and people know me right through and I have to live, I try to live up to certain standards. No, I can be a rascal like everybody else, but you see, it doesn't suit me because I come from a well-known family. And being the eldest in the family, I got to give the example. So anywhere I go, I try to maintain that culture.
How would you define that culture? What name would you give that culture?
Well, I would say it's an elevated style, different than you. You raise and I keep quiet.
Do you think it has anything to do with your West Indian background?
Yeah, definitely.
How so? Why?
Why? Because the way I was trained. The way I was trained. I was brought up in a home with 50 years of married life where I never heard an argument between parejas. I never sent that my father, what you say, that raised me, made him work. He just took the pay from the pay car and gave it to my aunt. Every cent. He never buy nothing. Shoes. She did all the buying. She run all the home. She sent everybody to school. And we weren't her, their children. They didn't have any children. They just adopted us. And I was the first one there. So, as I said before, there was no friction there in front of us. My sisters couldn't go to the shop to buy. No, I had to do all the shopping. My sisters couldn't be out in the street after 6 o'clock. We were never in the street. Even after 6 o'clock, they had to be home either knitting or doing something, not like today. See, so that background. Even myself. We had to be studying, Sharia, go to school 8 o'clock in the morning, come back. They have the things to take care of. We had our own room, my sisters had their room, my parents had, I had my room. We weren't bundled up together like what happened in Panama and Colón. You see what happened in Panama and Colón, there's that coronavirus. That's because of that. There's no respect. No distinction. Mother sleeping here with 2-3 children. Be the next man, exclude the language. The daughter come there. The mother have a boyfriend outside and she's sending the daughter with a note. I've seen that in Colombia. And I called some of them attention. They tell me, oh no, I said, that don't look good. Definitely, and that is the difference with us. We were brought up in that environment. So you can't stray from that. You're not supposed to stray from it like this Jolly. Jolly is the same. Jolly. Mother and father brought them up in church. And that, there you are. There's none of them stray off. Sisters are nurses, he's a businessman, the other one is a lawyer now, I think, and that. Well, the same thing with my family. That background. If you don't have that background, in other words, that's the base. If you're building a house, you have to make sure and have a good base. If you don't have a good base, what? You reach the top, everything is going to come down. And that's the difference today. And that's what I control with my family.
Yeah. What sort of things come to mind when someone says West Indian? for example, a history, quality, cultural behaviors or objects come to mind when someone says to you the word West Indies. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, an honor. I tell him, from ever since, and I grew up in school, I tell him, they used to have a word to call us Chumba. The one day when I learned history of Panama, they had the Cristobal Colón statue in Colón in the park. Then you go to Colón, you're down 2nd Street. I said, a Chumba is what the Indian Cristobal Colón met and said, Chumba, me Chumba, not me. I told him, I am West Indian. You have East Indian, you have West Indian, and you have American Indian, and you have Latin Indian. Well, I am West Indian. And I feel, because as I said before, my mother is a Jamaican. So, you're a woman, right? Where does that from? From you, the woman. We only fertilize that egg. So I can't get away from that. Huh? Okay. Yeah? That's my, I feel honored to do that. Mm-hmm. I told a lady, she's from Jamaica. I told her 4 years ago I was to Jamaica to know my family, mother's family. And I met them. I met some nice people in Jamaica. I had the opportunity of meeting Manly. Yeah, 40 years ago, yeah, when he just got in. Yeah, a couple others. Because the friends I had in Jamaica, my mother said she went back home. And the friends she had some good connection. And my sister, also, my last sister, she had some good connection there. But so I feel good to know that I'm West Indian origin, and that's why I try to make them respect me. That.
Thank you. You told me that you were married. Right, and you had some kids who were mixed, and your current wife. How did you meet, I guess, your current wife?
How did
you meet your current wife?
Well, I don't know, it's an accident, I said. One of those things that happened in life. That. So, we just met, and she decided to keep the ball in the air. So I just followed her. It was her decision, not so much mine. No. Because, well, to be frank, I was always a happy-go-lucky guy. Yeah. I never had no problem where women are concerned, thank God. That. So it was one of those things. I was alone for a while, and she decided to keep the ball up in the air, and I said, well, since you say. Well, so far we're together. Don't know for how long. But I never let that worry me. No, I never let that worry me. You see, life is like that, man. You got to go along with the trend of it. It's like swimming in this river. You can't go against the current. You have to follow the current going down. It's like to go to against the current. You're going to drown.
Tell me a little bit about your children. You already gave me a little bit before. What else would you like to share with us about your children?
Well, they're pretty so far intelligent and so. They're coming up. But my son, my first son, well, that's the most intelligent one there. And he has what you call real love. Real love. He has shown me real love for father and son. That he worries himself about me. I tell him, no man, you're not supposed to worry about me now. You worry about you and your sons and your family. But the others are nice and so, but as I said before, the relationship is not the same, especially with a different culture woman. They think different. I mean, I said before, you can't fight that. And then, unfortunately for me, all my sons, all my children are boys, no girls. Maybe if we had a girl, girls go for the father most of the time. But I, pure boys.
Do any of your children or grandchildren speak both English and Spanish, or one of
you? Well, no, those in the States with my son, they don't. I don't think they speak Spanish. They speak because they're American citizens. I have one in Panama. He's married. He's there. Well, he just had a little girl 5 or 6 years. I don't know if she's going to speak English because he doesn't speak much English at all. And the mother is Spanish. So I can't say that she's going to pick it up. Maybe she'll pick it up after a while. Because I grew with them in the house so far until we decided to leave. And they didn't pick up the English from me. I used to speak to them, but pick up most from the mother, because I said 24 hours a day with them, and you only 2-3 hours. Mama, 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 mama. When Papa coming, well, Papa, so soon. Back to Mama, no? But I don't think so. And you'll find it now mostly too. Most of the mixtures in Spanish. That's why they're trying to push English so much. That Spanish in school, because English is international. But as I said before, then there were no good English schools around. Every Spanish came in and took over everything.
Okay. 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 Is there any specific message you would like to give to the community at large, especially our younger generation?
What I would say is to them to study and prepare, number one. Because if you don't study and prepare, you're not going to be able to enjoy life as you should. Because everything of today, now, everything you need an education or you need some knowledge, even to cut the grass. Once ago was a machete. No, it's not machete, it's machinery. So you got to learn. You got to get the technical training. I don't agree too much in this business training and all of that, because but you take away from the computers and all of that, you're taking over that. Especially for men. Nobody wants, if you have an office, nobody wants a man as a secretary. You might want to have a lady there to look at her and enjoy her. I don't know if you'd agree with me. It's very weird. Huh? But what a man should try to tell my boys is to care what you call a technical thing. Plumbing, refrigeration, electrician, mechanic, aerodynamics and all of that. That is weird. Because even women are going in those trades today. You'd be surprised. I know girls in Cologne. Electrician, refrigeration, you see them with the pants on and the gun and the thing, and she up there fixing them. Hey, what you doing down there? And she's a technician. And that's where the money is, in technical labor, not in office work and that. And that don't pay for me. I wouldn't study that if I was young again. You either be a plumber, electrician, or good mason. That is where you're going to make the money. Yes.
Okay. We're just going to do a few demographic facts.
Huh?
We're just going to do a few last questions that have more to do with demographics. Could you tell me your year of birth?
18th of August, 1927. Okay. 81, man.
Okay. All right. What is the last grade of school you completed?
I finished in what we call secondary. That was that time was 6 years. That.
What is your profession or job?
Right now, I'm a, what you call a businessman. I like a little business where you put the girls to dance and where you put the people to drink.
Is there any additional information you would like to include?
No, I think that's enough for today. When you come back the next time, we'll find something else.
Okay.
Give somebody else a chance. to get through. And it was nice meeting you. I hope to meet you before again.
Yes, we hope to come back, and we want to thank you again for participating in
the meeting. Well, anytime you're ready, if I'm around.
Yes,
which
we'll be in touch.
Which I hope you just drop me a night. If you see me, anybody here knows me.
Yes,
definitely.
Yes, yes. And we have a number here to catch it, so thank you again.
Okay, nicely. What's your name?
Nayasha.
Nayasha. Yours?
Veronica.
Veronica. Veronica again?
Hidalgo.
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 Hidalgo. Yeah, you're Mexican descent.
And here's a small gift as an appreciation for your participation.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Have a nice day.
You too.
You too. Bye.